This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now, the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show from Wintergreen Nursery Landscaping and Florist. Here's the Commissioner of Dirt, Mike Winters, and the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Hey, Mike, I think that's our cue to talk.
Okay, we're going to talk for the next hour. And if you have a question about your garden or something like that, maybe your lawn needs some help or you want to build a patio, give us a call, 673-4464, and I'll help you all I can via the radio. And this show is about ideas and solutions and how to plan your landscape and what to do when things are wrong. And today I'm gonna plug the weed business.
Oh, good. I like weed.
The weeds.
Oh, here we go.
They're popping up everywhere. I mean, you know, you get 2-3 days of sunshine and puppies just go, wow, thank you.
It's like the breeding season for weeds.
Yeah. So if you have a question, 673-4464 will put you on the air and you can ask your question and I'll give you the correct answer. How's that? You know, at least from my perspective. Okay.
It sounds good to me.
So, and have you noticed how in the last few weeks the weeds in your flower beds and lawns have popped up? I mean, they're just like little rocket ships. One day they're not there, and the next day they're 2 inches long. And, and you know, in the cracks of the sidewalks, all over your flower beds. And they're just making hay, I'll tell you what.
They love it.
You get these warm days and warm nights. Well, the nights haven't been too warm, but you get a warm day and you get some sunshine on them, hey, you can't hold them puppies back. They're just making their annual appearance. And now you can admire them and let them grow tall and wide, like 2 feet or so.
Describes a woman I watch.
Or wrong show. or plan their destruction. And I do a lot of destruction planning for the weeds in Douglas County. Now, there's several ways to manage them with spraying or pulling. Now, if you are very energetic, you get out there and pull them until your heart's content. But I prefer the spray method myself, simply because it's a lot less labor, and it'll have quicker results. And when they're small and just getting started, you know, you get a pretty good handle on them real quick. Mm-hmm. But if you let them get up there 6-8 inches, 10 inches tall, then spray, then you got a bunch of dead weeds hanging around that you got to do something with
afterwards.
Yeah, and in the interim, there's new ones growing up underneath them. So don't let them get big. get in there and knock them out while the knocking's good.
When they're youngins.
Nubile, how's that?
Nubile, there you go.
How's that for a word?
I like it.
That's worth $15 at least. But, you know, with the sunny days that we've had and not a whole lot of rain here, it would have been a perfect time to do some attacking. And, of course, we have to do that on our maintenance. We've got many maintenance accounts that we take care of throughout Douglas County. And we've been actually spraying for almost, probably about a month, maybe 3 weeks at least. You know, there's a day with no rain, bing, you spray them. get a handle on them before they get atrocious, and it doesn't take that long. But when the weather gets warmer and the days get longer, the little devils will multiply at an amazing rate. You'll go, gee, well, I'll get them next Saturday. Yeah, okay.
Oh, yeah.
And then next Saturday rolls around, and oh, shoot, Joe Blow called and says, hey, come on over and see my new rifle. Okay. And so Saturday flies by, and you go, you get home, and you go, oh, shoot, it's too late now. I'll get them next Saturday.
I'll burn them.
Yeah, I'll burn them, yeah. Now, burning is good if it's in gravel, but burning in bark is, weeds in bark is not good.
Oh, they don't mix.
No, they don't, because that bark, the bark will be scorched on top, but where it really burns is underneath, and you can't see it, and it spreads. Smolders. There's no flames, but it does burn.
And you never know where it's going to come up at.
No, you don't. You do not. But we have several clients that have, large parking areas of gravel and things like that, and we'll use our weed burner. That's really the funnest, quickest way, simply because you get to scorch them right where they're at.
I like
But it doesn't take care of the seeds. There are still seeds in the soil. We do the combination, burn them with our weed burner and spray them with Roundup. and
that does the trick.
Pardon?
That does the trick.
That does the trick, but it's not a permanent trick.
Oh.
You know, because you might have to do it once a month for 3 months before you finally eliminate the majority of them. But there's always going to be some. I mean, I don't care what you do.
Oh yeah.
You know, you can pour a concrete slab, and where the joints of the concrete slab come together, weeds will grow in that joint. Now tell me how they do that. Growing, there's no soil. There might be a little dust, and all of a sudden a weed pops up out of
there. I don't know.
Look, walk down any sidewalk in downtown Roseburg, and you will see weeds growing in the cracks of the sidewalk. Mm-hmm. You know, they take it over the world. If we let them, you know, so you
well,
know,
better that than, well, never mind.
Never mind. That's not this kind of show. Remember that. But when you do with Roundup, you know, it is fast acting, and it does not do damage to the soil. I don't care what you hear or what propaganda is on TV. Roundup will not do damage to the soil.
You're still using it.
I use it all the time. I've used it for 46 years. And I still got two arms, two eyes, and three legs. But Roundup actually grows the weed to death. It just grows it. And then it just grows so fast it dies.
Oh.
It can't keep up with itself, if you will.
Hmm.
And it goes all the way down into the root system. So it kills the root as well. And
cool.
It's like if they're on some kind of a, I don't know what they're, it's bad.
It's kind of like speed that burns itself out.
Yeah, it burns itself out. Thank you. That's exactly what I wanted to say, but I didn't know how to say it. But Roundup is fast acting,
Yes. Especially
on these sunny days. And it'll even work, like I say, on a day of clouds. And if you use a sticker in your tank, there's a little item called sticker, so that the rain comes, it will not wash off or dilute the spray, and you still get the same results, but a little bit slower. There are other weed sprays on the market, and I've tested a few, and they say, oh yeah, we're the best, and we're this, and we'll do this, but I've not found anything that beats Roundup.
Wow.
I really,
that's quite the contest.
Well, hey, it's the truth. I mean, I can't, with clients that I have that have these nice yards, I can't, you know, go ahead and spray something and think that's going to take care of it, and then I come back a week later or 2 weeks
it's
later.
It's just the same.
And it was worse.
Oh.
You know, they've multiplied, you know, so you can't do that. So Roundup works. I like it. And if you're careful, you can even spray it. You know, sometimes in your lawns, you'll get some ugly old weed that'll come up in your lawn.
Mm-hmm.
And you can just spray that one weed very carefully and kill that. And when that's dead, like I said, it doesn't do anything to the soil, but when that weed's dead, the regular grass can grow back over it.
Oh, okay.
You know, but you have to be very, very careful.
Right.
You can't just do a wholesale spray on it. And there are
that's
other...
That's the way my dad would do it.
Yeah, your dad must have been quite a gardener. That's all I
yes,
can say.
Yes, he was.
But like I say, there are other weeds, weed sprays on the market. You can try them if you like. And but like I say, I found Roundup to be the most effective. And then if you are anti-spray, the old-fashioned way is for you. You know, some people don't want to spray. Okay, that's okay. You're on your hands and knees pulling them, and when you do that, you make sure you get all those roots
when you're
pulling, because if you leave one root, it comes back very quickly.
Sure.
But here, it's great exercise on a sunny day. And big ones come out best with a shovel. So if you got a weed that's a foot and a half tall and you got a little tiny, you know, garden spade or something like that, it's best to dig it out and get all the roots that you possibly can. Because sometimes when you try to pull a big one, it'll break off.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got to dig it out anyway.
Yeah.
So you might as well attack it with a shovel.
In the first place.
In the first place, exactly. And now then when the beds are clean, you know, you've worked yourself to the bone, and you've done a good job, and you're proud of what you do.
Yeah.
You know, go ahead and rake it out, make it look good, and then you can add a granular herbicide called Casoron. Now, some people don't like Casoron, but it's what it does. It's a pre-emergence. In other words, it sits there, and when the moisture hits it, it puts out its chemicals. And the thing is, it robs the oxygen from the soil level about a quarter inch. So if a new weed, there's weed seed in there, if a new weed comes up and encounters the casseron, there's no oxygen there for the weed to breathe, and it dies.
Yeah.
And it lasts, it'll last 3-4 months easy. And I've used it in my fields at the nursery where I'm growing trees and stuff. And usually if you do 2 applications a year, you're pretty much not totally weed-free, but the few that do somehow survive, you know, that's where you hit the Roundup, man.
They must be strong suckers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they have to be. But that's what casseron does. It robs the soil. Robs the oxygen at ground level. And like a new weed pops up, boom, nothing to breathe, so it dies. Lack of oxygen. It happens every time. Believe it or not, they need oxygen.
I hate that.
I know. And again, there's no damage to the soil.
Great.
Or the other shrubs growing nearby, you know, because we, like I say, we apply it in between our trees. We got a line of trees, and there's, 70 trees in a row.
Mm-hmm.
We just go right down there with a spreader, and it doesn't affect the tree. It just affects the weeds, and
that's the way you want it.
Yeah, and it's kind of has a strong odor for a while when you first apply it.
Is it a nice odor? Or?
No, it's not what you call a nice odor, but it doesn't smell like a skunk for sure.
Oh,
but it's strong. It's kind of strong for a day or two, and then it mellows out. Yeah, because it's fresh out of the bag, and it hits, and bingo. But if you do use it, like I say, you can put it near the shrubs, you can put it near the trees, but it's not going to hurt the shrub or the tree.
Cool.
And if you do it in early spring, like this is early spring,
mm-hmm.
And or you can do it in the fall when the rains hit, either way.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And then your weed population is greatly reduced. And then, again, after all the beds are clean, that's when you add a few inches of new bark mulch and freshen the place up. And not only will this keep the growth of weeds to a minimum, but dressed-up plant beds, they look brand new and fresh, and that's what you want. That's the ultimate look you want.
That's the goal.
That's the goal, so that you can plant your new flowers in there or whatever, and
nice.
And you don't have to dig out the weeds first. You've already taken care of that. But now's the time to do it when they're young. And if you do it now, you're going to be way, way ahead of the game, I'll tell you what.
And less sore.
Yes, we got to... A commercial?
About a minute.
About a minute.
You want to take it now?
Yeah, let's take it now.
Okay, we shall.
I got another subject here.
All right, we'll be back with another subject next on the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
All right, we're back. We were just discussing among ourselves.
Yeah, discussing the weed population of the earth.
That's right.
And if somebody can tell me the correct number of weeds on the earth, I will buy them a trip to Mars. How's that?
Oh, there you go. I heard on the radio today a Japanese guy, I think, is sending people off to the moon anyway.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Well, we landed one of those things on Mars here, a week or so
ago?
We
did.
Yeah.
I can't remember the name of it. It's hard to say. Perseverance or something.
Who knows? Maybe it's
I'm a radio guy, and I can't pronounce words.
The Weed Master.
There you go. Sending pictures back.
Oh, gosh. Well, like I was saying, we've gotten rid of the weeds, so the beds are clean, and it's helpful now to apply the casseron, all that kind of stuff. And then you sit back and say, hey, what can I do? How can I make this pretty? And add a few inches of new bark mulch, and it's going to be beautiful. That by itself is going to improve the look, because it's going to keep the weed growth down to a minimum. But it just dresses up everything, and it looks like a brand new, fresh look. So here's another thing, too, on this weed stuff.
Yeah.
If you're thinking of putting plastic or ground cloth down first to keep the weeds down or eliminated, don't waste your money. It doesn't work. It may work for 6 months, but after that, if it's plastic, it starts to break down, and it gets into pieces, and the weeds just go, huh,
that,
thanks.
That's miserable.
Yeah. And they come right up through it. Now, the ground cloth is heavy-duty cloth, and what will happen, there's little holes in it, though, and a weed can get up through there. It's more effective than the plastic, but what happens after a while, there's so much, say people put down ground cloth and they put 4 or 5 inches of bark mulch over the top. Well, the weeds get into the bark mulch and grow that way.
Sure.
They don't even have to come up through the ground cloth.
They're not picky.
So, and the ground cloth is very expensive in comparison to plastic, and it's heavy, but both of these are temporary fixes at best, okay? Like I say, the plastic breaks down into little chunks of and little pieces, and you go, oh, look at all this junk. And in a few years, it just stops the flow of oxygen into the soil right off the bat because, you know, when it rains and all that, the moisture doesn't, when it's fresh, when the plastic's fresh, doesn't penetrate the ground. So, you know, whatever root systems are in there are not getting their optimum health, if you will. But remember, the weeds are tough. Like I said earlier, they grow in the cracks of sidewalks and curbs and streets. And again, spraying is the quickest and least expensive way to keep them in control. But there's nothing I know that will keep them out permanently. Like I say, they grow in concrete. Who knows? So I've tried many ways in the 46 years that I've been in business and haven't yet found a surefire weed control.
Not even fire.
Well, yeah, but the fire.
It's all temporary.
There it is. It's on the ground. So you fire them up and you got a propane torch we have and a tank. And if it's in gravel, it's okay. It turns gravel black and all that. And you think, well, we got it. Well, a month later, you go back and there's baby weeds coming up because of all the weed seed in the soil.
Yeah.
You know, I read somewhere that there's like 10,000 seeds in a cubic foot of soil.
Good heavens.
And you know, naturally that happens. And I'm thinking, well, you could go out there once a month and burn them or spray them.
You'd still not be.
Yeah, you're still. But like I say, in 46 years... I haven't found the ultimate in weed control. So if anybody out there that's listening and you know how to do it, you please let me know because I want to copy you, okay?
And that number is?
673-4464.
Very good.
For all you weed masters out there. Now that we are in the spring cleanup mode, or mood, however you want to put it, you know, what are you going to do with all that nice space you created? You know, you got all of a sudden you got this clean, beautiful bark mulch beds and lawns and all that. The weeds are gone, and you've remulched the yard, and now it's time to plant something and give your yard that finished look, real finished look. So, if you have the room, maybe some fruit trees or a nice shade tree or some large shrubs, and the good thing on like fruit trees and shade trees, this is still what we call the bare root season. And the bare root season means the trees or shrubs that are bare root, you don't get them in a pot. They're not rooted in a pot. They're usually healed in sawdust. Mm-hmm. And you go to a nursery and you pull them out. And then some of the box stores have them in plastic bags,
right,
which is filled with sawdust. And you undo the bag and you pull the tree out and the roots are bare. Consequently, bare root.
And they're less expensive that way.
Yes, they're less expensive. They're probably less than half price of what you'd buy a potted tree of the same size for.
That much, huh?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's because when you know, at the end of bare root season, which could be the end of March, right around in there, depending on the weather.
Yeah.
If you go to pot it up, you got, say, 20 trees left and you pot them up. Okay, you got the expense of the pot. What? We got a call?
Two phone calls.
Uh-oh. We're ready.
We'll take line call. Number one. You're on the air.
Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm dry.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
So I have a camellia bush in the front of my yard.
Okay.
And it is just absolutely loaded with blossoms.
That's too bad.
But the problem is they're not erupting forth.
You mean they're not unfolding?
They're not unfolding. They're just sitting there waiting to erupt. Hmm. And they have done this. We've had the house now for 3 years, and the plant's probably been in the ground for 20 or 30 years.
Really?
Maybe less, maybe more. But they just sit there, and they like kind of peek out a little bit.
Yeah.
And you can see the starting of the flower.
Yeah.
And then they just sit there and don't do anything. Huh. What can I do to make them erupt forth?
Well, do you fertilize them at all?
Nope.
Well, phosphorus and potassium are parts of the fertilizer arena that will encourage blossoming and root structure. And if you give them a good shot of phosphorus and potassium a couple of times a year, I think that in the long run, you can correct that. Also, you said they're 20 feet tall?
No, they've been in the ground for 20 years.
Oh, 20 years. How tall are they?
They're only maybe 2-3 feet tall. Because I chopped, when I got the house, I just chopped it on down.
Good.
Brought it down to a more manageable level.
So the leaves nice and vibrant and green and all that?
They look beautiful.
Okay.
They look absolutely gorgeous. They have all these blossoms ready to come forth, and they just sit there and make me so upset.
Well, go out and threaten it a couple times and kick it. That'll wake him up.
I don't think that would work. But I would try. If you told me to try, I would try at least once.
You never know, huh? You never know. What type of soil are you in? Are they in like a clay soil, clay base, or?
It's there on Grape Street in Winston.
Oh, Grape Street. So you got clay. there's no shortage of that in Douglas County. But I would overdose them with some phosphorus and potassium. You can get shrub fertilizer will have nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium. And the shrub fertilizer will have a very low percentage of nitrogen, which is the first number. And then the second number is phosphorus and the percentage number. And the third number is potassium. And you'd want something like that's maybe 5-10-15 or 5-15-20 or something like that. The nitrogen being the lowest number because we don't want to promote leaf growth. We want to promote flower growth. And the phosphorus and the potassium, that's what they're made for.
Okay.
Try that, and then it's not going to be instantaneous, but try that. And are they in shade or sun?
They are in sun. Well, they're partial. Uh-huh. I mean, they're on the south end of the property.
Okay. Well, you know, the ones at my nursery, I pruned into trees years ago, and they're, 12 feet tall at least, and they are loaded with blooms, and they've been blooming for a month right now, at least a month.
Yeah, I mean, I saw all these things appear, and I'm like, oh, great, I'm going to have some wonderful flowers, and then they just sit there.
Huh. But you've seen some of them partially open and seen color.
Well, there's two or three that have kind of partially opened on the very tippy top of it, uh-huh. And you can see that pretty pink.
Yeah.
And then it just sits there, and then it just sort of dries up, and then just doesn't do anything.
I'll be darned. Well, you know, try my method. It's probably too late for this year. I mean, but do it as soon as you can. You never know. Maybe it'll get a jolt and open up. But for next, do it this year. Do it again in the fall, and then early spring next year, and see if that makes a difference.
Okay, and then second question for you.
Yeah.
They're on next to Rick's Medical Supply and all over town. They have these low-lying plants, have big green leaves, pink/purple flowers.
Saxifrage.
Saxifrage.
Yes, S-A-X. S-A-X-I-F-R-A-G-E, saxifrage. I know exactly the ones you're talking about.
And do they kind of wander? I mean, like,
they spread.
You plant one in it, and it spreads a little bit, it appears like.
Yeah, it spreads, and it blooms. It starts blooming in January, for crying out loud.
and it looks like it kind of die, at least theirs kind of die a little bit when it gets really cold, and then they just come right back.
They come right back. Once you plant one, they're there forever.
Okay.
You know.
And do they require sun, shade? Does it matter what kind of conditions they're in?
I've seen some up there by Rick's Medical Supply, and they're in full sun next to a street where it's hot, and in between a street and a sidewalk where there's more heat than a normal yard, and they're beautiful.
Yeah.
And nobody takes care of them up there next to the
old AmeriWest and bank there on Kane Street. They're there as well, too, and they're kind of in a shady kind of situation there.
They're very versatile in that respect.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you for the call. I appreciate that.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Did we have another call?
We did, but they got tired of hearing the ring.
Oh.
Call back during this break. We'll be right back. News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
And we have Mike Winters, Lawn and Garden Show this afternoon. And we got a caller awaiting there. Good afternoon. You're on the air with Mike.
Thank you so much. Hi, Mike, my hero. How are you, sir? Hello.
Hello, John. What's up? Can you hear me?
I do now, yes.
Okay. Okay.
I so appreciate what you shared with that young man. May I express a guess and an opinion?
Sure.
I think that there are some commercial varieties of camellias that either need the humidity or something. I'm dying to hear him call back in and tell you that I have tried to goose camellias along with just P&K. And still had the stupid thing. I suspect that there are some varieties that might have a virus or some kind of little, I don't know what you'd call it, an infection or a tendency or something, to where they just don't go ahead and bloom. In our area, and I don't know. I never figured out why.
Well, I'm sure there's so many varieties of camellias, and in so many different geographical locations. I'm sure that maybe one that blooms very well in San Diego doesn't do squat up here. And that's my point. Who knows what varieties? Excuse me. Who knows what varieties these are? So, but that's the only thing that came to mind was try the.
Well, you know that I'm not criticizing you.
Yeah, I know. But that was the only thing that came to mind, and I could go on a long spiel about all the camellia varieties, but it wouldn't answer his question.
I'm not chewing on you. Have you ever seen that same experience that he was talking about, and that I've experienced?
No, I have not. All my camellias bloom well.
Then here, so I have done the PK push, and it produced more budding. And the beginning of swelling of budding on these couple of particular varieties that I would say are common cultivars for commercial production,
mm-hmm.
but not for good camellias, if you hear my heart.
Mm-hmm.
There are some camellias that just aren't good camellias.
Yeah, oh yeah, just like there's some good apple trees that aren't good apples. I know.
I'm just trying to support what you're talking about and giving you a quizzical wonderment for me. I appreciate you guys dropping off those beautiful sugar maples to me, and I was calling to ask you, have you gotten a lot of your bare root stuff in?
Oh, yeah. We got everything that we could get. I mean, there's shortages even in the bare root.
So it's in. And are they headed in the mulch and stuff?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They've been in for about 3 weeks now.
The variety of those super colorful sugar maples that I got from you back when they were on that great sale.
Yeah.
Do you have any of those come in?
To tell you the truth, John, I don't know because my daughter,
she's the one that does.
We got a list, you know, and I don't memorize the entire list. I just pick them up.
Of
bring
course
them back
not. And so I'll call down to the nursery and ask Jill.
Yeah, Jill would know. She knows more about that than I do.
Okie dokie.
All right.
I really appreciate, and I wish you guys the very best.
Thank you for your call, John.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Bye. All right. That opens up the lines at 673-4464.
Are you sure about that?
Yes.
It's 673-4464.
I thought that's what I said.
No, you didn't say
that. Oh, okay.
You said 972-1211.
I did not. That I know I didn't.
Oh, yeah. You just didn't. You got to listen to yourself once in a while. So anyway.
I do, and I don't like it.
We're talking about bare root fruit and shade trees. And like I was starting to say before we got the calls, these guys are not in a pot. They're heeled in sawdust. And consequently, they're less expensive because a pot costs, for a tree that size, the pot's at least $10. And then you've got the potting soil. Then you've got the labor. Then you've got the fertilizer and the sprays and all that other stuff. And the time invested in them to keep them alive so that by the time the potted trees are ready to sell, the price is usually twice what it was, at least twice what it was in the bare root season, and because you have to figure all that expense into the price of the tree, but bare root trees this time of year are an excellent buy. And it's an excellent time to plant because they're dormant, and you don't have to. You need to be careful, but you can't. You can't just throw them out in the driveway and ignore them for a day. If you take just the minimal amount of care, they'll live, and you'll have good success with them. And in planting the bare root trees, one item, you want to make sure that the planting hole is wide enough and deep enough so that you're not bending roots to fit the hole. You want the roots to go in their natural direction that they're growing. When you pull them out of the soil, you'll see, well, you got 2 feet of roots. Okay, well, your hole's going to have to be at least 2 feet, 6 inches wide, and maybe a foot and a half deep. And it's so that the tree will fit comfortably and not be jammed in there. Then you use a good potting soil mix with some topsoil, some potting soil, some peat moss, some bark mulch, anything that drains quickly. And with that kind of medium, the new hair roots that start to grow and anchor the tree, they have no resistance because they're in good soil. They penetrate the soil very quickly and get established very quickly. Now, if you just dig a hole in some heavy clay, jam the tree in there, and then throw the heavy clay back in and stomp on it, 99 times out of 100, it's not going to make it. So if you're going to invest your time and your money in buying, say, a $35 tree, and then you just dig a hole and stuff it full of mud, you just spend your $35 on something else or wait until you can buy a potted one. And even with potted ones, you need to have a good soil mix that you put in when you first plant it. Now, once they establish themselves and the roots are actually growing and the leaves, you can see the leaves are coming on and it's growing and all that, and they're surrounded by clay soil, it doesn't matter because they have enough energy and enough momentum for those roots to penetrate that harder ground. It's just that initial time that you want to. They're like a baby. You don't feed them. You don't feed them a hamburger when they come home from the hospital. They're in the milk time, and then they graduate to baby cereal or one of them little bottles of baby food that's.
And then they go back to baby cereal when they get old.
Yeah. And then when they grow some teeth, then you give them a hamburger. But the same thing with any living thing. And trees and shrubs are, that might be a bad analogy to some of you. But
no, it makes sense to me.
That's the only way I can put it. Oh, golly. But you can even, if you don't want to mix it all, you can even use old bark mulch, just pure old bark mulch. Fill the hole. Make sure you've worked it in around the roots so there's no air spaces, and just fill it up with old bark mulch, and you're good to go. They will grow in that bark. I've grown thousands and thousands of trees in bark mulch. And as long as you fertilize it, keep it watered, and on a regular basis, you're doing good. And it's just that the heavy clay, while it's chock full of nutrients, doesn't allow air circulation, and it doesn't allow good drainage. Without good drainage, the water sits around the roots, the little hair roots, and they're the same diameter as a hair. When they call them hair roots, that's exactly look like, only they're white. and excessive water will just rot them off. And if you continually pump water to it and the hair roots die, then there's no nutrition going up into the tree to make it live.
Not a good thing.
It's not what you want. But like I say, large holes, a lot of good soil, put them in there and they're good. Now, do not fertilize them, but there is a root starter called vitamin B1, Liquinox. I've used it for many, many years, and it's like a Miracle-Gro. I mean, it's not a Miracle-Gro product, but it just grows roots on broomsticks, for crying out loud. It's really good. And once the tree is in the ground and you finish patting the soil in place, you get some Liquinox B1, and most of the stores sell it. We sell it, the co-op sells it, the box stores sell it, and it's good stuff. 2 tablespoons of this Liquinox mixed with 1 gallon of water, and you pour it in around the tree, and it absorbed into the root system. And what it is, it's like a Kickstarter. It's like a Energizer Bunny down there, and it grows a lot of roots very quickly. And if you do that, say, once every 10 to 15 days, 3 or 4 times, you'll be amazed at how well that tree will go. You don't water it with anything else. You don't fertilize it with anything else because it's too immature at this point. But the B1 will bring it to life. And we use it. There's not a landscaping job that we've done in the last 40 plus years that when we plant a plant, even in good soil, we always give it a shot of Liquinox B1 because it really works. It's a yucca extract with some other things, other chemicals in there that I couldn't even pronounce. But
sounds like it might be human consumption.
Well, I don't know. I wouldn't want to drink it.
It might be yucca.
Yeah, well, it comes from a yucca. Jeez Louise. Oh, gosh. And how I got sold on this was years ago when I was first starting out in the landscaping business and doing my thing, I went up to the old dump. Now, the old dump was up on McLean Street, but it wasn't fancy, and nobody was there. And they had a big hole in the ground and some logs, and you backed up to the logs and you threw your trash in the hole.
Yep.
That was it. And, I mean, everybody did that. That's what we had. So one day in May, and it was like, say 75 degrees, I back up to the dump, and I've got some leaves and some other, you couldn't throw tin cans in there. It was just brush and stuff like that. I look down in the hole, and there's 3 bare root trees laying there. And they're laying on their side. The roots are bare. It's 75 degrees. They look dry. And I'm thinking, why would anybody, to me, standing in my truck, I thought, why would anybody throw 3 perfectly good trees in the dump? What's wrong with these people? Well, back in those days, you could actually go down into the dump and take things out. So I jumped out of my truck. I went down into the dump, and I got those 3 trees. And the tags were still on them, and they were Kwanson flowering cherries. And I thought, wow, this is a steal.
This is a gold mine.
A gold mine here, yeah, really. And I took them up to the truck, and I took them home. And immediately I planted 1 in my yard and 2 in my mom's yard, who lived up the hill from me. And I mixed up a big batch of B1 because I heard it was good but hadn't used it much. And so I soaked it down really well and did my mom's as well. And the trees were bare. I mean, you know, it was planted, but there was no activity, no buds that were swelling. Nothing was happening. Mm-hmm. And every day I come home and I'd look at the tree, nothing.
Uh-oh.
Then one day, about 2 weeks after I planted it, I noticed these little buds popping out on the branches. And I went, whoa, it's alive. So I gave it an extra shot, extra strong shot of B1. I think I went about 5 or 6 tablespoons to a gallon on that one, just to see if I could, you know, zip it up a little
bit. Yeah.
Well, I zipped it up pretty good because within 2 weeks, it was full of leaves.
Really?
Yeah, full of leaves. It, all brand new, and flowers. It was a blooming, it's a flowering cherry. And it was blooming, and in the same way with my mom's. And I thought, wow, how cool this stuff is. It took a dead tree in May.
Yeah.
That was sitting in the sun, bare root, and I brought it back to life with this B1 stuff.
Nice.
So I've been a believer in that all this time.
Yeah.
And the cool thing about it, when it was starting to grow branches, which was maybe a month later, I fertilized it, you know, fairly significantly mm-hmm. with some granular food. And the branches by that fall had grown somewhere between a foot and 18 inches.
Nice.
From just sticks.
That's a good feeling.
Well, yeah, and it works. So, you know, I sell it, I use it, and I believe in it. When we pot up our bare root trees, you know, bare root season's over, say the end of March, mm-hmm. depending on the weather. And we'll take our remainders, and we'll take them back, and we'll put them in pots. We'll pot them up. So what we do, we'll take a 55-gallon garbage can, and I'll put about a quart of start in there and fill it up with water, and then we take the trees out of the sawdust, and we stick them right in the garbage can while we're getting the pots ready. They're sitting in, you know, a 55-gallon can full of start and soaking all that stuff in that we take each tree out one at a time as we're potting it up. And then when we got a section of them potted, then we take that old B1 they've been, and water them in, and we put them out back. And within weeks, they're just going bananas. They're
nice.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
So the stuff really does work, and I recommend it highly. And it you can use it on shrubs, you can use it on bulbs, you can use it on anything that has a root. That's what it was designed for. And I don't know what it is in the yucca that makes it, but that's the main ingredient, is the yucca extract. But they didn't tell me how to make it, did they? Don't say that on the label.
Yeah.
That's their trade secret. So, you know, use that, and you'll see how well it works. It always works.
Yeah. All right. We'll be right back. This is our last break here on the...
Last break, huh?
Yeah, baby. News Radio 1240 KQEN. Did I just call you baby?
No.
No. Okay. We'll leave that alone.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Well, waning few minutes of the Lawn and Garden Show here with Mike Winters. Waning, yeah, I didn't say that right.
I thought you said raining.
No, it's W-A, what, you know.
I know.
It was a waning moon last night.
Okay, it was a raining moon. Oh, boy, I'll tell you.
I give up.
You're good, I'm glad. Anyway, these trees that I was telling you about, these cherry trees, it was probably 40 plus years ago when I got them planted, and they are now probably 12 to 14 inches in diameter and a good 18 feet tall.
They're still alive?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. And in the spring, they got about a billion. Nobody's ever pruned them, so they got way too many branches.
Oh, no.
And in my old house, I just can't stop and start pruning trees at my old
place. Yeah.
But, you know, no, they're tougher than nails. And once they're established, I never watered them. I never did anything to them. I just let them grow. I mean, they always look good, even in the hottest part of the summer.
Well, you got to be tough if you're dumped off in the dump, I guess.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's the part I couldn't get over. Yeah. I had a sneaking hunch of who did it, too, but I will not mention any names.
Oh, local people, huh?
Yeah, local. Local landscaper. Throw away trees? What's wrong with you, man? Goodness gracious. But they are now, like I say, very healthy, very nice, and... just growing, and I've got some in my field at my place that I planted a trio of flowering trees. I've got a Mount Fuji flowering cherry, which is white, white blossom, mm-hmm. and the blossoms kind of hang like fruit.
Oh, yeah.
And then two Kwanzaa cherries in the background, and I planted them real close together on purpose because I wanted the branches to blend so they would be multicolorful.
Gotcha.
And it blooms white first, and while it's about midway through its blooming period, that's when the Kwanzaa cherries start to come out. So it's just very, very attractive. And I watered them, I think, the first year. Now, they're a few hundred feet from the house, just up in the middle of the field. And I built them on I used to have a baseball field back there, and I planted them on the pitcher's mound.
There you go.
I enlarged the pitcher's mound and filled it with bark and just planted those puppies. And the first year I did water them, but after that I've never watered them. And they've probably been in, 15, 18 years at this point.
Wow.
And they're absolutely gorgeous. No bug problems, no problems. The deer don't eat them.
They don't?
No, they haven't touched them. Now, if you put an apple tree there, the deer go over there and they'll do their horn rub thing and try to devour the tree.
I've got a deer story for you. I don't mean to interrupt.
No.
But I thought about this. My bedroom, my bed, and window are right there, you know, right close together. Anyway, I heard this noise and scared the heck out of me. I looked up and there was two deer right outside my window. Yeah, and I watched them for a little while. Then I went, bam, bam, bam. You should have seen them. They might have had a heart attack. They jumped up like horse. Oh, God.
What, were they eating things in your yard?
Yeah, they were eating little bushes outside.
Oh, good. Good.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
that's what they do. They do that test.
Yeah. These two got a heart attack.
Good.
I felt kind of bad, but I was laughing too hard.
Well, thanks for listening. I hope somebody learned something out there. And if you didn't, find something that you want to ask a question about and call me next week.
All righty. We'll see you next time.
All right. Bye-bye.